In the 30 years since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody was established, incarceration rates have skyrocketed. Aboriginal people are 13 times more likely to end up in custody. In 1991, after hearing thousands of pages of evidence from hundreds of witnesses, the Royal Commission warned that jail should be the last resort, not the first, and that alcohol-related crime be considered to be minor. Aboriginal people continue, though, to die in custody in appalling circumstances. That moral failure to fully implement the findings of the Royal Commission really sticks in the throat of any Aboriginal person who's had a family member locked up. Warraba Weatherall is an artist based in Brisbane. His first solo exhibition is called Institutional Lies, and it features sculpture installation, disembodied trees inside metal cages, which are cut through with lateral marks. At the centre of the piece was a visual representation of what he called the power apparatus. Now, it's based on Jeremy Bentham's design of the Panopticon, the all-seeing custodial watchtower that inspired so much prison architecture. Warraba Weatherall also drew inspiration from the craniometer. Now, that's a device used to measure skulls and sometimes brain capacity. Warraba Weatherall, who's the son of the Aboriginal rights activist Bob Weatherall, is speaking to Karina Hogan.
Institutionalize is an exhibition that looks at 30 years since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. I've created this large installation body of work to try and advocate that things aren't getting any better and they're actually getting worse, and to broaden that within a communal dialogue for people that might not have had access or had knowledge about that, as well as for a lot of mob who are saying the same thing.
And at the centre of your design is this amazing power apparatus. Can you talk me through that?
So a lot of my research has gone into panopticism, so looking at the panopticon of the prison. So it's basically the all-seeing eye, and the central power apparatus would originally be the central watchtower. So by having that central watchtower and that elevated view of sight, where the warden can see the prisoners but the prisoners can't see the warden, then activates this self-perpetuating censorship. You start censoring your own behaviour because you're not aware if you're being watched or not, and therefore not aware of if you'll be punished further. So a large part of that revolves around surveillance, surveillance of Aboriginal people, and how that is actually a very violent act. People get so used to just thinking, you know, pushing and shoving and being physically violent is the only form of violence, or because we're so desensitized to so much violence around us, we don't pick up on the smaller undertones or those sort of systemic ones in nature. But the thing is that those systemic ones are actually so overt and so violent that it's just baffling how we've become so desensitized to this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're having, whether it's in the prison setting, whether it's within government, surveillance from police, different government bodies, having that surveillance reduces each person's autonomy and agency to be able to act as an individual, you know, self-determine whatever they want.
To be their own agent.
Yeah. So the central apparatus is in replacement of the central watchtower, and I've actually made reference to a craniometer that you would use to measure craniums. That Western scientific canon, scientific racism that has held so much weight and is entrenched within so much of Western science and therefore, you know, societal norms as well. So putting that in there as the sort of the power apparatus that governs the cells or the prisoners, or more broadly speaking, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people within this social system.
throughout the rest of your design, you have you use sand to almost connect up these wrought iron cages that are set throughout the remainder of the design. And inside those, you have the trees and the roots coming out, connecting to the sand.
I guess the thing about critiquing the institution, critiquing these power systems and power structures, and having such an institutional sort of contemporary gallery setting, I thought it was needed to introduce country back into that, because I'm talking about a grassroots matter, I'm talking about community, and that's a way to actually activate all of the cages or cells. And so with those, with the carved trees from my people, Kamilaroi, we would carve trees, and you know, usually they would have customary markings and so forth to distinguish the life of that person or their clan groups. Within this sort of contemporary exhibition, I've put that aside and carved in 10 of the most significant recommendations from the Royal Commission on each of the trees. They usually mark direction of the plot as well. So they're all arranged in a way that they're pointing towards that central apparatus as a critique, more or less, that is the place of the death. There's numerous layers to it. Some people don't have that reference point, especially people who aren't mob. So sort of just, you know, little talk about the broader sort of concept and what I've created. But, you know, for, you know, me and you talking about it, I see the prison as an institution of assimilation. And I think the interesting thing is what defines the crime and by whose authority. As so much of the law here has derived from common English law, it's always been to the disempowerment of Aboriginal people. We have all of these minor offences where blackfellas are over-criminalised, and we get to a point where it becomes a cultural assimilation within these prisons. And when the trees are sort of fragmented and sliced into different sections, they're there to represent the historical traumas of assimilation. And there's this binary of the natural material and the industrial, where they've been recreated with these steel spines, because that's what the institutions want us to be. But even though we can see it as its natural form and how we are, there's another ulterior motive underneath.
Just when we talk about critiquing the system, and obviously it's called institutionalize, L-I-E-S.
Yes.
What do you think's wrong with the system itself, the industrial system?
Well, how much time we got?
Yeah.
I think globally, so much of the world is informed, well, globally and nationally, so much of the world, its politics, its laws, social norms, are all informed and catered to the needs of dominant society. So in our case, it's white Australia. And there's historical undertones, whether it be from the church, from science, from, you know, colonial narrative, whatever it may be. There's so many undertones that inform the present, and these colonial legacies that work to the systemic disempowerment of Aboriginal people. So that's the structural racism is what I'm talking about. And the thing that really annoys me is that it's so much the social norm that majority of white Australia don't pick up on it because they're so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
so ingrained.
Yeah.
It's what our nation was built on. Well, the Australian nation was built on.
Definitely. And it's thriving. It's still at work. It's still succeeding in what it's set out to do. And that's for the disempowerment of Aboriginal people. The number one thing that really gets to me, you look at how many people that were standing in solidarity for the Lakota Pipeline stuff over in America. So saving the water over there. And so many people in Australia, around the world, were up in arms and supporting that black, white brindle. But then you look here and so few people who aren't Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander do not support the stuff that we're advocating for. And essentially, I think it's because there's a lot of white Australia, or in general, a country can identify but also romanticise, exoticise with other cultures. But when it gets back to the issues at home, they don't stand by them because there's this underlying guilt that it activates this sort of cognitive dissonance thing where it doesn't relate to their worldview and their place within it. And so it's easier to avoid rather than participate.
And do you think, Warriba, also, do you think that as Aboriginal people, you know, you were talking about that surveillance thing and that constantly being looked at and constantly being judged, that that also has an impact on us as agents to be able to stand up and create the story? I guess with your art piece, I feel like that's what it does. It almost taps into that conversation that we're not having at a deep enough level. And so what needs to happen from now?
With my personal experience and opinion, I think because this isn't a new thing, this has been happening for 200 plus years, colonisation is still happening now. And so what I'm saying is no different from what our elders have said and advocated for since day dot. So drawing on those legacies, there's a disgusting racial problem within Australia. And it's not a black problem. It's a problem with white Australia and how they see Aboriginal people. It's a structural problem. I don't want to oversimplify it and make it a black and white thing because there's so many layers. Even though that plays a role, a major role, but there's so much at a structural level that's ingrained that does not work for Aboriginal people.
Uncle Bob Weatherall, your father, what influence did he play in it? Like, I understand, and a lot of us up here, especially in Brisbane, know that he's a solid black activist and he campaigned hard to reclaim stolen heritage, among other things.
Yep.
So what role did Uncle Bob play in setting this up for you, and what will you pass down to your own boy?
So I guess, being my father's son, he's taught me a lot, as well as my mother too. So, Dad's campaigned as well as numerous other people. Like, this doesn't happen with the individual. It's always the collective that gets the momentum and the support and actually gets stuff done. So he was just one person. But for my own experience and him passing on knowledge to me, he's, had a significant impact and still does, as well as my peers and extended family as well. Within this, because Dad's worked so much with the repatriation of Aboriginal remains from overseas and cultural materials, that's where so much of the conversations that we've had as a family relate to the central power apparatus of the craniometer, because they're used so much within craniometry, historical racist science, and, the theft and grave robbing of Aboriginal people and housed in museums and other institutions in Australia and around the world. Mm-hmm. Significantly, that's at the heart of the exhibition, and that's also such a huge thing that we have spoken about as a family that Dad has contributed to.
The artist Warriba Weatherall, whose solo exhibition Institutional Lies was on at Metro Arts in Brisbane. Go online to see some images of the work. It's quite amazing. He was speaking there with Karina Hogan.